Right, welcome along to the latest episode of the Desert World Podcast. I'm Greg.
TC.
And Richard.
And Richard. This week we'll have a chat. We attended our first Comic-Con in Dunfermline, so we'll have a brief chat about that. We've got a more relaxed reading, watching, playing, and then we have, as always, a quiz. It was Batman vs Superman themed, and it was surprisingly great.
Yeah,
that's what I'll say.
Wasn't it?
I'm not going to give any spoilers away as to what happens.
Don't worry. The tone of your voice does that anyway.
I know. It was a fucking shambles.
It wasn't a shambles.
No, it wasn't a shambles. It was very good. Don't twitch off. It was actually great.
Yeah.
So
one of the best quizzes
we've had so far
today.
It's not got much competition. In fairness.
No, don't
worry. Anybody else got anything to add before we crack on?
Nope.
Good time. Bad time.
So we had our first Comic-Con recently. We were at Dunfermline Comic-Con, which was run by Albie at the Little Shop of Heroes in Dunfermline. And it was quite an experience, chaps.
Aye.
How did we feel about how it went?
It was a very, very early start.
It was
a very early start, but I'll be honest, I was really surprised at the turnout for it.
There were so many people.
It was ridiculous. But to be honest, kind of like the promoting and that had been done for it, I wasn't that surprised that there was a lot of folk. But it was when you actually seen them all coming through the doors.
Oh shit! Like a constant stream of tons and tons of people.
Yeah.
As you say, there was a lot of advertising done for it, but there was a lot of cool stuff there as well. Like they had the aliens pulse rifles and the Game of Thrones throne and blah blah blah, etc.
Blah blah blah. David Tennant wasn't really David Tennant.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. It was a cosplayer, apparently quite famous. But whatever. But we didn't get to see him because we were selling comics
and art prints
and perler beads things, which were quite popular.
I was really surprised.
They flew off the table at rating ups.
They did. They were nice and colourful.
As soon as you say something's free as well, like the badges were like, oh, it's free badges for what, lapping up.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like people love free stuff at these things, apparently. So we gave away a few badges, gave away a few cards, met a few artists.
It was good, man. Everyone was really positive. Everyone had good things to say about everything.
About the stuff
that we were selling and people were talking afterwards and that. No one seemed to have any gripes about it or that. It was a good day.
Yeah, yeah. We managed to sell quite a few comics and everything as well, and it was quite successful. It was a weird experience overall, getting your comic sold to people, especially to people who had never even heard of us before.
Absolutely cold selling to them on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite cool that some people would turn around and say, oh, yeah, that sounds good. I'll buy a copy. There was a couple of people who spoke to us for ages and ages about it, and there was a couple of people who literally just came up to the table and bought a copy because they wanted to put it on their review site. But
oh yeah,
I haven't checked that yet.
Is that the guy who did give us a shout though?
Well, if he's going to do it, but he's probably busy. He's probably got a lot of stuff to do.
Hopefully he's not. Or maybe just not told us because he's bad. Shit.
Bad reviews are clickbait, so even if it's a bad review, I'm sure.
Man, maybe we'll the reviews are that bad.
Check out how shit this comic is. You won't believe.
Yeah, yeah. You have to buy a coffee to see how bad it is. Way! There we go.
Yeah, exactly. So, it was a tremendously early start, as you said. And then we're up at, I was up at half five.
Five.
Absolute dire. Tommy, were you up pretty early on?
I was up about the same time.
Yeah, and we got there for what, like, doors opening. Realised we probably could have got there about an hour and a half later, set up our table, and it's a lesson learned.
Aye, really. We set up our table on a ridiculously fast time.
yeah, absolutely ridiculous. But
we went and got some bacon rolls and stuff. We got the breakfast in before we started.
Priorities, man, that's it.
Man, it was such a long day standing on our feet for so long.
Aye.
Like, the heat of the place as well, especially around the factors, like...
Yeah.
But, man, the amount that I was surprised by, the amount of, like, sort of cosplayers and that, especially for being, like, sort of Fife's, like, first or Dunfermline's first actual Comic-Con, it was...
Hell of a lot of people.
I can't believe it was the first Comic-Con, seeing the amount of folk that were interested in, the amount of folk that turned up and stuff.
Yeah.
But the amount of kids there as well that were dressed up like Spider-Man and Captain America, and that obviously the Marvel films having a massive effect on this, like, which is good, because that's what you want. Long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely. So we sold a few comics. Tommy, you sold a few prints as well,
I've which sold was some art
pretty
prints,
cool.
Yes.
And
it's cool to think that somebody's got like my art print up on the wall.
Absolutely.
In a bedroom or something, or the hall or something.
That's yeah, what I'm there.
That. That, yeah, that, that's
yeah,
that's
I know, right, apart from people well. That I give them. They don't have a choice. They just,
we don't have a choice.
I walk into their house and it's not up, I'm like, what the fuck?
I know, I did have to think about that.
Oh, Tommy's coming in tonight, I'll put there.
Dust it off and put it up at the mantelpiece, yeah. The cupboard thing, whatever it is. But it was, that must have been a pretty cool thing as well, because they're all completely original prints, completely...
Yeah, they're, I mean, they're established characters, but their original poses, original artwork, so conceptually, on that side of things, my idea. So yeah, no, I was really, really delighted. Plus, you can't really sell a print. It's there, if they like it, they'll buy it, if they don't like it, they won't. So that was good as well, because it meant no salesmanship on our side, because we were doing our fair share on the comic side.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah, we were all doing all right with that, and... there's a lot of interest in the comic, but you know, not everybody who was interested bought a copy, which
that's fair enough though, man. People have got like, because if you think about it, if you go around all the different stalls.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So you've only got like, a certain amount of money.
Yeah. I'm not complaining.
No, you better not be. I'm defending them.
Well, I'm a little bit, but it's like, come on, buy one. But a lot of good feedback on. A lot of good feedback on the comic afterward, actually. I had a couple of tweets, a couple of emails. People saying they enjoyed the comic, were quite surprised by some of the things that happened in the story. So, you know, I guess you can say that's successful in that sense.
Yeah.
That we did.
Oh, yeah, sure. Actually, so that was really good.
Well, Comic-Cons, anyway. We've got ourselves another little slot, another Comic-Con, which is with Big Glasgow Comic, which is at the Glasgow Trade Halls on April 16th. That's a Saturday. And it's from 11 till 5, so we'll be there as well. So if you're listening to us, come along, buy another copy, or encourage your friends to buy one.
buy another one.
Come and say hi. Mm. Or, you know, if you're coming along.
Free badges.
Yeah, free badges. And a free card. You might not want to get in contact with us, but it's got to be cool wee logo on it. So, aye. And that was our first experience at a Comic-Con.
Brilliant.
Okay, reading, watching, playing. Now we're going to change it up a little bit this time, and possibly going forward, what we're going to do is we're just basically going to have a free for all, and we're going to talk about what each of us have been
doing,
reading, watching, playing, doing, and just open up.
Kind of in like a more relaxed.
That's it. A more relaxed.
I think what
it's
we felt
theatrically
we,
on.
We felt it was too professional before.
You know what, man, I've always feared that, really.
I know, and yeah,
it's just too polished.
So we're
kick off your shoes, sit back, relax, undo the belt.
Grab your 7 beer, sit down. Below the belt. Did you say below the belt?
I said undo the belt.
Oh, undo the belt.
We'll go with that, that's fine.
Go for below the belt if you haven't enjoyed something. Who's starting off?
Who's been reading, watching, and playing? Hopefully some of them, otherwise this section's going to be...
I have been watching a lot of Daredevil, but we can't talk about that yet.
I've not seen it.
Can we talk about it really, really quickly? I've watched 3 episodes. You've watched
6.
And it is fantastic.
And
it's
there's
amazing.
10,
awesome.
13.
That sounds so good. I've only watched 2 so far, but Charlie Cox has been great as Daredevil. Again, the suit doesn't look as dumb now as I thought it did at the end of the last season.
Is it the same suit?
Yes.
It is.
It doesn't look as dumb though.
Because the suit and the... I'm glad you said that, because that was one thing at the end of season 1 that kind of got me, was when the suit gets revealed and you're like, ooh.
It's definitely the same suit.
Oh, it's definitely the same suit.
Is it?
And it's got like the black panel.
But the bit that matters is the helmet, really.
No, that's true.
So that's definitely the same. If the rest has been changed, I couldn't really tell.
No, but it was, the helmet was fine, but it was, I thought the rest of it in season 1 looked a bit kind of...
Aye, you only saw it for a split second, but...
The review was really underwhelming, though. Yeah, it was a bit kind of...
I was like, oh, disappointed when they revealed it, because I really liked the black outfit, the gloves and the bandana thing over his eyes and stuff. That's just that was amazing.
Yeah, speaking of which, like, when you're talking about cosplayers that were at the Comic-Con, we saw one of him, but not one of, like, actual Daredevil, which was... It was quite... It spoke volumes about that. That outfit that he had in for the majority of season 1, but yeah, it doesn't look as dumb this
good.
Time around.
No,
it's like it's much more believable. Like early on in the season, there's it gets its strength tested well and truly, which I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Like, absolutely. He has his first sort of encounter with the Punisher, and then after that, it's been great. Really, really, really good so far. Every character has progressed. They've introduced a couple of new characters, and there's another fight scene.
I read that there was a fight scene that tried to outdo the scene in the corridor from issue one? From series one.
I would say it does. Just because of... does it? What do you think?
I don't want to talk about it too much, but I think...
I don't want to say anything.
Does it outdo it? It's just as good because they go a little bit further.
Mm.
And they try harder. If they just done the exact same thing, it would be like,
Yeah.
Plus, that scene in the first season totally took me by surprise.
Yeah, absolutely. I kept waiting for it to end or cut away or kind of like the camera, like maybe I'll go a close up or whatever, but it just followed them completely. It must have taken so long to film, because if one thing went tits up in it, I'd have to do the whole scene again.
Aye.
And that's what kind of got me.
Thinking back to it as well, I'm not sure if it does outdo it. I think you're right. Probably is about on the same level, it's just done differently.
Yeah. It's a longer fight, but the fight has been really good. There's a top class one in the first episode. It's very short, but it's a good fight, good scuffle. And in the second one, I'm sure I've been rewinding it constantly while I'm watching it. I get to the end of the fight scene and then go back to the start of the fight scene again and watch it again. Fucking loving it.
Is this series going to have any involvement for the Kingpin, or is this to try and set up Punisher?
I'm not sure. I'm sure you'll see him at some point. I reckon you will. There's been references to him.
Right, no, that's not, it's fine. I wasn't sure if he was just kind of like, that's him done now.
Nah.
We'll put him aside.
I'd say they'd bring him back for season three.
Yeah.
And Bullseye.
Aye.
Not Bullseye. Back, but there's not been any Bullseye yet. I'm halfway through it.
Yeah.
It's Bullseye. There's not supposed to be in it.
No, so. I think he was in it. But I did read that the guy that plays Kingpin said that there's a massive twist, or there's a massive, like, something happens, basically, or someone appears in it that's massive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know there's another character in it.
Yeah.
They,
oh, right. So in addition to.
Aye, because they got announced and you seen them in the trailer. But
yeah, that's true, yeah.
But yeah, apparently something happens, or there's some sort of, which makes me even more intrigued. Even though it'll probably be nothing. Because they always kind of do that. Oh, there's going to be some new chapins. Oh. There's nothing.
Oh, right, okay.
Good day.
It's fucking amazing anyway, so.
It is. So if you've not started watching yet, start watching.
You know what I had in my head, right? After the first season, I was like, this is the second best thing I've ever seen on screen that's a Marvel property. After the first Avengers film, I was like, this is definitely solid number two. It's fucking brilliant. Daredevil's like my favourite Marvel guy. And then I've only halfway through the season and I'm like, fuck that, this is number one. Like,
It's just been done exceptionally well. Like, from season one and from what I've seen so far of season two, it's like easily the most exciting superhero series, and it's right up there with any other good to great TV series at the moment. It's awesome.
Mm. So what would you say was your favourite? Because obviously you're saying Daredevil season two is the best Marvel thing you've seen.
I just mean in collectively, like, this is... The Daredevil TV show is the best thing I've seen.
From Marvel.
Aye.
I don't know what it means would be.
I think the excitement around the first Avengers and having seen that a few times, it definitely keeps it up the top. But Daredevil is really, really making good ground on becoming top for me. It is brilliant.
I'd say Ghost Rider. The second one.
I was going to say which one. Are you a purist and say the first one?
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, both of them. I can't decide which one's the best.
It's good to see each other, surely. You know, Nicolas Cage. What a guy.
Ghost Rider is so good.
Well, let's talk about something else then to move it on, because that was only meant to be quickly. What have you been watching, playing, if anything?
Not a lot. I've been reading a book called Will, but I'm not 100%, I'm not finished it, so I can't really comment on how good it is overall, but so far it's been class. It's been signed up by what's the guy's name?
Spielberg.
Get this alien.
Ridley Scott.
Yes, he's signed up for a trilogy for films. coming out. It's kind of like they describe it as like the new Hunger Games, but it's not like the Hunger Games. It's a lot better than the Hunger Games.
I think I've heard that quite a few times.
That's the annoying thing. As soon as someone says, "Oh, it's the new Hunger Games," I'm like, "Nope, I'm not going to watch it or read it. I don't want to be. I don't want to." That almost put me off, and that's why it's taking me so long to get through it. Is because like I only really read it on the bus. I don't get the bus. Like, well, I've been watching TV on the bus as well.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Because I'm one of those guys now. that's quite decent. So, like I say, I haven't finished it, so I can't recommend it fully. But to be honest, all my time has been going into Fallout 4. Like, a ridiculous amount of time has went into that game.
How are you finding it now, then? It's been, how long have you been playing it for?
I've been playing it for about 340 hours.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
300, no way, 340 hours.
Yeah, I put a shitload of time in. That's over two characters.
Right, carry on. 340 hours.
About that, yeah, collectively. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to
do some math.
Calculate how many actual calculus. Days that is. That is 340.
How many days has he pushed up a wall?
Let's find out. 340 days.
That's
2 weeks. There's no way you've been.
Honestly, man, it tells you what it is. Came out in November.
Oh, right, no, fair enough then.
So if you put like, okay, you sit and play for like 10 hours a day, and that's like...
No, that's fair. Well, that can't make more sense, actually.
But, dude, it's I'm still loving it. And actually, the DLC comes out tomorrow. DLC comes out for tomorrow. But yeah, I started playing it, I got about halfway through, and then I started again. Thought, I'm going to start again and have a second character. I'm still loving it. It's one of my favourite games I think I've ever played. And I've not even finished it.
How far through are you?
About halfway.
Perhaps.
Yeah, that's a little...
Another 340 hours to play then.
Yep.
So you'll be finished at roughly 2018?
Yeah, I think I'm going to try and finish it before July.
Otherwise, yeah. So you got a wee Bambino on the way.
I got a Bambino on the way, so I need to get it finished before then. Otherwise it's going to get buried beside my PlayStation. Just in at the back.
Yeah, well, you can advertise your PS4 for sale when...
Nah, it's been used. It's been well used. Yeah. It's been well used. But the thing is, though, it's one of those games where you can just do so much stuff. Like, you can... I don't even do the story. I just do the missions. I just do the side missions and just piss about and go swimming and stuff.
It's better than life.
I mean, things you can do in this game, you can't really do in real life without... having serious repercussions.
Like getting serious radiation poisoning.
But yeah, to be honest, I'm not even going to go into what it's about and all that sort of stuff, because everyone knows what it's about. It's just a huge, huge, huge game, and to be honest, I think it's very, very impressive what they've managed to build. They've been making it for years.
A long time, yeah.
I think Fallout 3 came out in 2008, and then Vegas... which was made by a slightly different company. I think that came out in 2011, 12. So it's been getting made by the guys that made Fallout 3 since 2008.
Jesus Christ.
But it's ridiculous. It's absolutely amazing. I know you guys don't like it, but it's immense.
Like I say, I played Fallout 3 for about half an hour. Didn't understand it, really. But didn't give it a chance either. I'm quite surprised, like, that you're getting so much out of it, to be honest.
It's amazing. It's got one of the best crafting systems I've ever come across in a game.
You were telling me about a gun that you kind of happened across somehow, which sounds great.
I've got loads of guns.
What was it? It was like a needle gun.
Rifle. Yeah. You can like... I found that I don't really... In this playthrough, I don't really use guns. I just use melee weapons, which... One was really fucking stupid at me because it's quite difficult in doing that. But now my guy's ridiculously powerful, so I just go about with a sledgehammer. So I'm carrying like a missile launcher and fucking a mini nuke launcher and that, but I don't use them, I just use a sledgehammer. I found a syringe gun, which I didn't even know was in the game, and it's basically like it's just a wee tiny wee gun that fires syringes, but you've got to make the drugs. But once you make the drugs, you put them in the syringe like rifle and you can fire them at enemies, and it like it makes them hallucinate and it kind of makes them puts folk to sleep and like paralyzes like limbs and whatever. But it's not part of the game. It's not like a focused weapon. So you, oh yeah, I've got to go get that and got to use that. It's just an extra. You say, oh yeah, if you want to use that. But as soon as you get it, you get an extra sort of crafting element opens up, which is huge, I think. It's like it's like a whole new crafting bit that's not sort of kind of part of it. And like all the armor crafting and the weapon crafting is just ridiculous. That, to be honest, that's why I'm taking so long going through it. It's because it's just, and the fact that you can build bases as well, is you can actually build like, there's been folk, if you go online and just Google like the best settlements in Fallout 4, it's ridiculous. People have got so much time on their hands. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, we know, Greg.
Yeah. 2 weeks, I think it was, yeah.
God. Man, that's cool. It sounds massive.
It is. It's ridiculous. It's apparently, though, it's not got the best ending, but
it's not
in my ending. In my experience, no Bethesda game has a good ending.
It doesn't even feel like it should be about the ending with the amount that you can do.
Aye.
The amount that's available, like the amount that it's like a play, it's a total playground.
Oh yeah, definitely. And this one seems to be as well that they've got like, there's like four or five, or even I think there's actually like, no, there's like six different factions, if you like, that are all kind of competing against each other. And from what I believe, there's a certain bit of the game where you have to basically pick one of them.
Oh.
And then you have to basically then start like working for them and on their team, and when you pick one of them, the other ones all start reacting or whatever. So I mean, that alone, if you're playing through it again, you've got five or six different ways you can go towards the end and stuff.
Oh, but that's pretty cool.
Aye, it's absolutely ace. I'm not going to say any more about it. It's definitely a 11 out of 10 for myself.
Oh, 11 out of 10.
11 out of 10.
Cool. That sounds pretty good. Well, I went to see 10 Cloverfield Lane this morning, and it's good. I enjoyed it.
I'm glad.
John Goodman is quality.
Has John Goodman ever been bad at anything?
No. Has he? No, I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I haven't enjoyed seeing him in.
John Goodman was in The Gambler. Did you see that in Mark Wahlberg? He was in that, and he was really fat. But like really,
really fat. Apparently he's lost quite a lot of weight recently. Like he's shed a fair few stone or whatever it is. I saw a picture of him recently, but he's still pretty fat in this one. But that makes him all the more imposing in the character that he's playing. And like when you see the trailer for it, I kind of thought to myself, like, because it's a Cloverfield related film in name basically only, I figured that because the guys who write it quite enjoy a wee twist and quite enjoy being mysterious, because you only literally, people only knew about it coming out at the start of February.
Yeah,
it got hidden. Yeah,
they managed to make it without anyone realizing they were making a film, which is
yeah. Apparently, there was
crazy.
Like some sort of like intensely viral marketing on. Is it what I mean? Like intensely secretive viral marketing online. Like if you looked in the right places, you could find like letters from John Goodman's character Howard to his daughter on a website that was built specifically for the film. It was like his daughter, her blog or something. It was like,
wow, that's in depth.
Unbelievably in depth, crazy viral marketing. But the actual trailer, I thought to myself, that has got to only be like the first half hour of the film. And I'm quite happy to say that was right. There's like quite a lot of stuff in that trailer that makes it look like it's all geared towards, you know, it's all geared towards her escaping, like the female character escaping, and it still kind of is, but there's a hell of a lot more to it.
Aye.
Than how the trailer suggests, which is a good thing. But it feels totally claustrophobic when you're watching it. It feels like you never know whether or not you can trust Howard. There's another character there as well who provides a wee bit of comedy relief and gives...
I see the boy with the burst arm.
Aye. Yeah, and like the ending's weird. Like it's a bit of a mindfuck, and but it lends itself well to there being another one, because it leaves story for you to think about, oh, what's going to happen now, kind of thing.
All right. So another one with these characters, or another one just in the same.
There could be another one with the characters.
Right, cool.
But I'd recommend it. Like I'd recommend going to see a solid watch. A 7 out of 10, 7.5 out of 10.
A couple of questions, but one.
Find a way.
Does it have to be a Cloverfield film?
No, absolutely not. Right. With like the name Cloverfield, that brings, you know, it gives the visualizations of the big monster from the New York one.
It's a bit of the trailer where you see like a sort of house and like a sort of big sort of shadowy thing appear behind it, and that very much gave me the impression that it was the monster from Cloverfield.
There's a poster on the side of bus stops. I don't know if you've seen that. It's like a side view of a house,
and it's got the 10 going all the way down.
It goes all the way down under the thing, and it says monsters come in all forms or all shapes or sizes or something.
It's a much more like, it's much more of a character study than it is about like aliens or stuff like that. But when, like, the idea of the film is that they are underground. They are in a fallout shelter or a bunker or something like that, and there's the three of them, and this guy Howard is, he just wants to keep people safe. But there's developments, there's this, that, and the other thing, and it's good, and I enjoyed it.
I like the look of it. Like, I'm definitely going to try it now.
I think it was almost the fact that, like, when you were saying about, like, this album is going to be, is it enjoyable because you know very little about it?
I think that's part of it. Sure, it's like, it's not being shoved in your face, and you don't really know what it's about.
I know it's a guy on the ground, right? The guy got the impression he saved a lassie, and some shits went down outside, and she wants to escape because maybe she learns that, or she thinks there's maybe something else going on. That's all you get,
and that's good enough going into the film for sure. Yeah. Definitely. It is a good film. It really is a good film, and I came out of it, I don't know why, I felt a little underwhelmed when I came out of it, and it's like, thinking back, I don't know why. I think it's like the speed and intensity that the finale goes in, you're just kind of, it hits you like a fucking wall, and you need to take in quite a lot, and you start asking a hell of a lot of questions, and you start thinking to yourself, right, where does it go from here? And as I say, I think it leaves it open for another installment.
Sweet.
Or something similar. It definitely leads you in the direction of a new film.
Yeah,
In the Cloverfield universe. So I enjoyed it.
Excellent, man.
Is anyone else wanting to?
I watched a movie last night.
Oh dear.
But you probably don't want to hear about that.
It depends how long it was, how much of it you saw before you switched
to. I was going to say, can you really do a review if you don't watch it all? I watched a movie last night called It Follows.
Yeah.
It's the one about you have to shag someday. Is that a film?
That's Shit Follows.
Shit Follows. No, I've watched that last time. No, it's not one. It's a horror film, just walking towards you and you have to pump somebody.
It's like a curse.
Yes, it
thing.
Is.
Yeah. Is it?
Aye, it's pretty much yes, like that. there's a curse and like a demon follows you unless you can have sex with someone else, and then the demon starts following them.
Mm-hmm.
But only they can see the demon, whoever it is that the demon's targeting, and it doesn't run or jump or anything like that. It just moves at a very steady pace. It walks towards you
at all times.
So if you locked yourself in a room,
it would walk towards you and eventually get through the door and get you. If you went and jumped in a car and drove for an hour, it would take the demon as long as it takes it to walk
to get you.
But it's always coming for you.
Always. Yeah. Always. And I did see this, and I remember thinking that, you go through what you thought about it.
Well, I'd heard about it before. I think I heard the review that said it was all right. So I was like,
I put it on
Prime. So I stuck it on last night. I was like, oh, I've heard this is all right. I'll put it on, sorry. Be all right. It was actually fucking really good. Like, I really enjoyed it. I don't know what it was about exactly. I think I was expecting like a kind of more of a generic horror film.
Mm.
But it's not really that. It's a lot more thought-provoking than that. And the demon thing, it's a bit of a gimmick, but it really works.
Well, the thing is, you were saying like the concept of like having the bad guy that like essentially just sort of walks towards you. In my head, instantly, you're trying to think of ways like, well, I can get around that. Like, I can do that. I could lock myself in a room. I could, like you say, go into air, like get in a plane, whatever, blah, 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 all this sort of shit. But when you think about it, it is like one of these things that's like the delaying inevitable, almost.
It's really suspenseful.
It's like the demon that can manifest itself in different forms as well. Like,
different
it's
forms.
Like
it's always
a person.
It's always a person, but a different person every time. Sometimes it's somebody you know, or sometimes it's a stranger, and sometimes they've got like hollowed out, bleed in eye sockets, and sometimes they just look kind of normal.
Yeah, and there is a couple of instances in the film where it's well scary when you see who it is, because I remember there being like a guy, a tall gangly guy who looked about 6.5-7 foot tall or something like that. He's smashing his way through a door, and the lassie has to escape a house or stuff or something like that. I remember seeing it and feel like I just watched the middle of a film.
The final parts, that like the last maybe 15-20 minutes, you get loads of stuff thrown at you, and then you kind of, it's kind of left open to interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Which can be good in a film, but can also be a pain in the tits.
If you enjoyed the film, I find it always makes you think about it more, and then you just kind of, I end up enjoying them more because they make me think about it once it's over.
It can be,
but if
it's a
film that you're not really bothered about, you go. And the ending was crap as well, basically.
Right.
But I liked it. I really liked it. And not to spoil the ending or anything like that, and I won't go into it, but I would say it's open to interpretation for sure. And there's a couple of bits that through like just in the final act that still don't really make sense to me.
What?
But I'm gonna try and suss them out and just figure a way to put
just
them together.
Google it, man.
No, that's the thing though, I don't like doing that, because it's like my interpretation might not be the right interpretation, but if it makes sense in my head, then I'm fine with it.
That's the thing, there may not be a correct interpretation to have. It may just be one of these things where, you know, you make what you make of what you make of it, and that's kind of what frustrated me, because I wanted to know so much more about what was going on, but I don't feel like it got explained well enough.
It certainly didn't.
There was one bit in particular that summed that up for me, like the dude at the start who transfers the demon runs away. They find, like, you know, this isn't too much of a spoiler, but like, they find him and they try to find out a bit more, and the guy's just like, I don't know, you need to just like keep on going, get out of here. And that's pretty much it. And you're kind of like, what? And this is kind of as well what I was feeling at the end of 10 Cloverfield Lane, because events unfold, and I kept on thinking to myself, they're going to end it here, aren't they? I want more. They're going to end it here, aren't they? I want more. And they kept on going to a point where they wrapped it up nicely enough where you could be led down a path, and that is where they're going with it, and that is what will happen. And it follows didn't do that for me. But I feel like I want to go and watch it again anyway, just to make sure, because I might have misinterpreted everything, and I might have misinterpreted the way that it was meant to be told. So I wouldn't by any means say don't watch it.
I thought it was fucking excellent. Really original, brilliant film. Brilliant horror film.
I suppose that's the thing, man. It's a bit original.
That's the thing. It did pretty much kick me in the balls, because I was expecting, like I say, just a generic horror film, just an average horror film.
I think films that are original now should get praised just for being original. Like that, Jupiter Ascending. So that was absolutely guff.
That got hammered.
Got absolutely hammered. But at least it wasn't a fucking like, oh, this film 3, this film 5. You know what I mean? Well, at least
for sure.
But then saying that, what, the biggest film that's coming out this year is like, what, Star Wars 7 or whatever it is.
It's not the biggest film coming out this year.
Well, no.
It's not the biggest film coming out this year.
That Man 2, like.
It's towards the end of the year.
Oh yeah.
No, there's another film coming out, but we'll get on to that.
Well excited.
You guys got anything else that you want to?
I haven't been doing much else.
Yeah, you have.
No, I haven't.
We'll keep that within a circle of our own friends.
Oh wait, I read a book called Void, but it wasn't very good.
Okay, cool.
That's me.
Was it quite empty?
No.
Yes!
Yes!
I've been saving that one up.
I've been playing Far Cry Primal.
Oh, aye. Good.
It feels like a side game. Like, you know how they did Far Cry
Blood Dragon.
Again, it feels like it's the exact opposite of that, but I'm still enjoying it. Like, similar to what you're saying about the Fallout crafting system, this relies entirely on crafting, go around finding resources, building up your own camp, probably not to the extent that Fallout does. It puts a lot of emphasis on the bow and arrow, which I'm a huge fan of, because I loved using the bow and arrow, but it's good so far. It's about what you would expect of it. One sort of semi-peaceful tribe, two bloodthirsty tribes, you have to fight them both.
And you become the leader.
I don't know yet.
And you become triumphant.
You can tame animals though as well, so you can tame a saber-toothed tiger and just ride it around. And that's your vehicle for the game, which is quite cool.
No, it's got indicators.
I didn't spot them yet. I tried to flick its ears, but it didn't do anything. But I've enjoyed it so far. I would say if you like the Far Cry games, then if you play all the Far Cry games, probably don't go for it because you may not enjoy it that much. But because I only started at Far Cry 4, I'm enjoying this one.
That's why I got bored of Far Cry 4, because I played Far Cry. I really liked Far Cry 3, and it was a great game. I played quite a lot of it and played it to death. And then Far Cry 4 came out, and I was like, it's the same game.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, well, Far Cry 4 was good, but
the co-op, I suppose that's cool.
Yeah, the co-op was cool. There's no co-op in this, which is
it's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
We step backwards.
Yeah, but there's cool elements to it. Like, you know how you've like got scopes for sniper rifles, and you can mark bad guys and stuff like that. You get you've got like a shaman in your village that you have to recruit, and he like feeds you the wild hallucinogenics and stuff like that, and you end up taming an owl basically, which goes you can let an owl fly into the sky, and it provides a surveillance for you, tags all of the enemies and stuff like that. You can attack people with the owl.
That's pretty cool.
Well, it is pretty cool. There's a lot for what it is. I like it, and for what it gives you the opportunity to do, it's about what you would expect of it. But
yeah,
it's good. I'm enjoying it. I'd recommend
it's
it.
Good, man. Sure. I would. Well, I don't know. I've never played a Far Cry, so I don't know where to start with it. If I was to start them, but it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't think I've ever played a game where you're in the prehistoric age, apart from like the Flintstones on Super Nintendo.
It's pretty much the same. Should we wrap this up now and then go on to what is probably going to be the best section of all time?
You have the bell, Tommy.
Pa-ding!
So, yes. No, you don't, right? Good.
It's quiz time.
Dun, 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 dun.
I like that. It's quiz time. It is quiz time. Now we've had two quizzes already this season, and the winners have been me and
Tommy. No, was it?
I think you won one.
I got absolutely shafted last time. I tell you,
you was
that.
Robbed, mate. You was robbed.
I was robbed.
Skill on my. I think.
See, if I thought it was actually down to any skill or anything, I would probably keep a better score. But I don't know. I don't know who's winning.
All I am going to say is on the last quiz, that I fell into that well-known trap of the last question being worth minus 2 points.
I thought that was absolute genius. I need to get
It's definitely the first quiz where I've had to like bring somebody down. Like on the last, like there's never been like a clear... Anyone that I've done anyway, there's never been somebody who's like so far ahead that you've actually had to bring them down. But
that's fine.
In all honesty, though, like when has any of our quizzes ever ended on anything else but a tiebreaker?
At the end of the day, it's not right. At the end of the day, the real winner here is the listeners.
That's right. And with that in mind, let's crack on. Whee! Okay, so we're going to start off with a New York accent. Each of you, one each, please. And just a New York accent. Give me your best New York accent. Could be going for a hot coffee.
I was going to say,
give me a hot coffee and one of those bagels. What's this? Hey, you got it, a bagel? Is it got a Maroni's on 24th?
That's cool.
Oh, man. All I can say is coffee. That's it. That's literally it. But Tommy's just went off Frankie and Benny's on me.
Well, it's very good. I appreciate both of them. Let's start the quiz.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Question one. This is, by the way, this is a Batman versus a Superman themed quiz. So there's a lot of Batman and Superman and Justice League.
Well, I would have thought that.
Okay. So the first question. Right. Name the four most recent actors to have portrayed Superman in film and television.
Pading.
Tommy.
Henry Cavill.
Correct.
Christopher Reeve.
Correct. The four most recent.
Oh, sorry.
And this is film and television.
Oh, film and television, right. You've got Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Roth.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Cain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really sweating now. I think it's Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck played Superman enough. You'd have to Google it.
Well, it's not in Manchester, so...
No, he didn't play Superman in it. It's not like a Superman film. It's a film about the guy who played Superman in the serialised black and white shows that used to do, like in the 40s and 50s.
It's too clever.
Fuck's sake. It's too clever. See, I'm sure Superman appears in Supergirl, but I don't know who the fuck was him.
You're gonna leave it then?
I don't know who it is.
That's fine. Well, the other answer is Tom Welling, who is Superman in Smallville.
I would not have got that. I totally blanked on that. I never watched that.
The good thing about this is I'm going to tell you the points scoring system after that question. There was one for Henry Cavill, because that's obvious. There was two for Brandon Routh, because I thought he would be less memorable than he actually was.
No, he's Adam.
And there was three for Dean Cain and Tom Welling, because I thought they would be quite unmemorable as well. So it's currently six.
Wait, that was like an actual question. What's happened to this quiz?
6-0 to Tommy.
I'm sure it'll come back.
6-0!
So, true or false? Three actors played Batman before Adam West.
Bad thing. I'm going to say false.
Correct. It was two.
Is that worth 6 points?
No, it's worth three.
I'm
going to make this up on the spot.
Okay. Not for quizzes or anything like that.
So unprepared.
This really is laid back.
So yeah, it's about the other two were a guy called Lewis G. Wilson, who was the first ever Batman in 1943 TV series, whose voice was apparently too high and had a Boston accent, so got criticism for that. And there was another guy called Robert Lowery, who played him in a follow-up series in 1949. Serialized TV thing. The first guy's costume is fucking ridiculous, by the way. You should have a look at it. Like, it's utility belts, like up where an 80-year-old grandpa's belt is. It's like halfway up his body or something like that.
Right, like, the post where it should be.
Aye, and it's quite interesting to see how the costumes evolved since then. And speaking of evolution, we're going to move on to our biology round.
All right.
Obviously. So, what is the human body's largest organ?
I know what my log is.
Which is?
Wait, pa-ding.
Uh-huh.
My brain.
Incorrect.
Wait, is it not the skin?
Is that your answer?
Uh-huh.
Correct.
It is a skin. Yes.
And I'll
minus four.
I'll give 2 points for that.
Oh, yeah.
2 points for that. Yes, it is the body's largest organ. That's external that question well
very very much Superman Batman related.
That's right. I wanted it so I could lead on to this question. And speaking of skin, how many series of the teenage drama show Skins were there?
Oh my god.
Oh, 3-4.
Nope, you're both wrong. It's the correct answer is Who Gives a Shit. Question 5.
I watched it all. That's a lie. No, I'm not.
Take off a point for that. Question 5. Now, Wonder Woman is an Amazonian warrior, but crucially, how tall is she according to DC?
6 foot.
You didn't pa-ding.
Pa-ding.
Pa-ding, the first question.
I would say she's 6.5.
Pa-ding then, I'm going to say smaller. 6.
Correct. Yeah. Gets that point.
What was it?
Without heels?
She's actually 6'2 to 3 inches in heels, which I was helpfully reassured by the DC Wikia page.
There you go.
So.
That means, like, Superman, that must be fucking huge.
No, I thought she would be much taller than that, to be honest with you. Like, she's...
6 foot's quite high.
That's a midget-y.
No.
Midget-y. Okay. Rattling through this. In this question, though, you'll need to argue for your points.
No.
And what we're going to do is, one of you is going to take 1 point, and one of you is going to take the other one. And if you argue it successfully, there's 3 points in it each.
Right.
So, first point. Superman Returns was easily the best Superman movie and puts all other Superman films in the shade. The other one, Batman and Robin, was a lesson in storytelling for all comic book inspired films and should be looked at as a benchmark for all future efforts. Who wants to take what?
I'll take Batman and Robin.
Okay, unless you have a Superman, Tommy, so...
I'll take Batman and Robin.
Okay, you've got Superman, I'm afraid. Greg, why was it a lesson in storytelling and why should it be used as a benchmark?
Batman and Robin easily had the best portrayal of Batman I've ever seen. It had the best act, had the best actors, had the best villains, had the best... I can't do this. It was... I'm trying to think... No, I genuinely have nothing to argue how decent this film was. It had Batman, eh? That's my argument for it, friend. It's got Batman in it.
It's not really worth points.
Nah, it's not worth any points.
Why was Superman Returns the best film ever?
It's easily the best Superman movie and puts all those other Superman films in the shade.
Because what Bryan Singer tried to do was...
No one can hear your point, Tommy.
That's for effect. Who am I arguing to? Am I arguing to the people who are listening or the person who's listening?
I didn't talk when you were making your argument.
I barely made an argument, that's why.
I was probably waiting for you to start and then I would have interrupted you.
I'm out of time, so...
3 points. Right, Bryan Singer tried to bridge the generational gap between the old Christopher Reeve films and this new film that he was making, Superman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
What he also tried to do was show character development in the character of Superman himself, something that you don't normally see in any real franchise, even though it was kind of a reboot, a soft reboot. And you certainly don't see this level of development in the character of Superman in the comics itself. It's been the same practically for decades, and that they gave him a son. So that was cool. Another cool bit,
I actually can't remember this film.
Kevin Spacey was alright as Lex Luthor. I tell you what was really cool though, was when he had the kryptonite knife. He had a bit like a sliver of kryptonite that he'd made into a knife, and he stabbed Superman with it, and then he broke it off inside him.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool as well. I can't remember anything else about the film.
That's fine. You've argued very well, actually.
I actually can't remember.
Unfortunately, though, you've fallen in a trap. Because how could you justify anything that's happened in either of those films? Ridiculous. Minus 1 point.
Oh, wow.
I was just going to turn up and try.
Just put zero effort in, that's what I'm planning.
Question 7. Aquaman is most famous for being ridiculed an awful lot and for having a seahorse as his preferred mode of underwater transportation. But just how many oceans is the Marine Marvel expected to patrol across planet Earth?
Pa-ding. All of them.
That's what I was going to say, right?
I'll take that, actually. You've got your point back.
Yeah!
do you want to have a crack at all of the oceans and gain a point?
Oh, how many oceans is it? Five?
Five.
Right, okay, yeah, I'll go for it. Right, the Pacific Ocean,
correct.
The Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean,
mm-hmm.
the Arctic Ocean, and the...
ocean.
And the...
Put you for time now.
The... I don't know. The big, massive ocean.
Incorrect, and minus 1 point for making a mockery of the world's oceans.
What was the last ocean?
The Southern Ocean.
Ah. That's not a cool name, I call it that.
10 points up for grabs for the next question. I'll go on.
Wow.
10 points. What do you call a judge with no thumbs?
Pa-ding. Judge thumbless.
It's good, but it's not quite there.
Pa-ding. Judge stump.
No, it's justice fingers. Oh, that's a good one.
I don't get it.
Speaking of justice, the Justice League operates from one of three different bases depending on what you're reading or watching. What are their names? Point for each.
Budding.
Oh, that was the same time.
Let Tommy go.
Okay.
Nah, wait a minute here.
Wait, whoa, what the fun?
This isn't a trick question.
Right, okay, so there's the Watchtower, which is in space. There's the Hall of Justice, which is in... I have to tell you where it is as well. It's on the it's on the Earth.
Down, but you can't anyway.
It's on the Earth.
On Earth. It's good enough for me.
And there's that one and there's that one. And... yeah, that's all I can remember. Sorry, man. 2 out of 3.
That's all right. Do you want to try and get the other point?
I would go for... I don't know. The Fortress of Solitude? No, it's not that.
It's Superman's.
I know, but I thought maybe I've read something with that in it. I'll just claim I have.
Well, no. That, no,
what
I
is another one,
it's
actually?
The Justice League Satellite.
Of course it is.
Apparently.
Man, the Justice League stuff is... some of it's so... bad. So it's so bad.
I love it, but it's bad.
Right, this is the final question, unless, of course, there's a tiebreaker, which...
That's
every chance. Well, there is every chance. Currently, it's Tommy on 8, Greg on 5.
That's fine. Oh, I'm happy with that.
Well,
I'll just take 5. I'm happy with that.
That's good. This question is... well, I won't say points until the end. Because
yeah,
we all know what's going to happen. I would try, because I might not get a tiebreaker.
I might not.
Final question. The only question that we can really end this quiz on, definitively, and in your own opinion, who would win in a bare knuckle brawl street fight between the two characters of Vin Diesel or a tiger?
Bidding. Vin Diesel has knuckles. This is bare knuckle fight, eh?
Bare knuckle brawl.
Does a tiger have knuckles?
I'd still have his teeth in it. It's a large...
No, Vin Diesel would definitely shag it. Because he'd do the whole kind of Steve Irwin thing from South Park and stick his thumb up his bumhole. And then obviously he'd make it into a rug at the end and take it home. I think so. Either that or he'd just buy a rug in IKEA like everyone else. But nah, it's not Vin Diesel style.
It's not the way you roll. Tommy?
I'm going to go with the tiger, because Vin Diesel, you know, you're taken in by all his films. That's what the problem is here, Greg. He's just an actor. He's just a guy like me and you. He's not real.
What happens if the tigers
are real?
But it's like a baby tiger. Vin Diesel's real, man.
He's real, but he's not like the real guy in the films.
My dad's met him and he says he's very nice. So there.
Who's your dad met Vin Diesel?
Because Vin Diesel done the MTV Awards Edinburgh, like...
Oh, yeah,
years,
yeah.
Years and years ago, my dad was working on, like, the lights or something. It's not the greatest exciting story in the world, but there you go.
Oh, well,
so he's a very nice man.
Tiger eats him for breakfast. There we go.
Nah. What happens to tigers and... What tiger are we talking about? Just a generic tiger.
Tiger.
What happens if it's like a baby tiger? And he's just like...
It's just a tiger versus Vin Diesel.
Just a tiger. Okay, okay. Wait, fine. I put it to you then. It's a small tiger.
It's a robot one.
Right. No. What do you mean it's a robot one? Okay. No, it's still Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel would win.
Tiger...
Vin Diesel would win against any animal.
In 10 bouts, I give it to Tiger 7 out of 10.
7? Vin Diesel would wear it down, let's be honest. Well, I mean, I wasn't going to award any points because you can only really speculate until it actually happens. for tradition... With Desert Wales quiz, I'll round up Greg's points to 8.
Do you know what?
Myself a wee tiebreaker.
Do you know what the best thing about that was? I couldn't lose that question. Because I was losing in the quiz, I was going to win that question.
We've got to change our format, eh? Anyway, of course there's a blooming tiebreaker. That's the way we roll.
Do you know what we should just do? Just ask a tiebreaker and whoever gets that right wins. That's what we should do.
We should do, yeah. I feel bad now because Tommy has performed pretty well. And
if you get robbed, you get robbed. That's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes. No, roll the dice. The next time, and we'll get fucked the next time.
I feel quite vindicated because Tommy buggered me over last time.
I never buggered anybody over. I had to go to a tiebreaker situation, and then you were outperformed.
I can't remember what the tiebreaker was. Oh, the tiebreaker was to try and put the word.
The word on the
oh yeah. Paper. Yeah,
I actually listened back to that, man, right? It's just a little bit where we just kind of go, Tommy, see in your head, this worked a lot better, eh? Because we just went on and on and on.
That's kind of like the level of hilarity that I felt this would have in my head. It's probably not worked quite
as okay, good.
But it might be painfully obvious at this point that I've used Google quite a lot for this quiz.
No way.
But in what year was Google founded?
I'm going to say quite early on. I'm going to say 2003.
98.
Bang on.
98.
Tommy is bang on.
Yes.
And Tommy is vindicated. Tommy wins.
Oh, yes. What? Surely you should minus points for that. That's not how this works. You got something right. You should get penalised.
That happened earlier on. Well done, Tommy. You've won a quiz. How does it feel?
Feels great, man. Feels. Like all the hard work getting to this stage is really worth it.
Is there anyone you want to thank?
I'd like to thank my mum, my personal trainer for getting me up early in the mornings, getting out for those jogs.
The bus for getting you here.
the bus for getting me here.
Not the bus driver, just the bus.
Jesus.
Why?
If you need to ask that question, Greg, then maybe you should start speaking to me privately.
Even.
I don't want to speak to him privately.
There we go. Tommy, victorious.
Fair enough.
That might be one each now. We'll assume it's one each. We'll go back and find out who won next time. But I don't know, maybe the quiz will have changed next time.
We should keep a league table, like a wee table.
We should.
Who's up next? My next quiz.
I did the last one.
Yeah, so yes, you're next. Well, listen next time. Greg's quiz again.
Exciting time.
Excellent stuff. Ba-ding.
Oh, ba-ding.
Ba-ding. We're done. Another week done. We managed to make it a whole hour-ish.
Hour-ish, yeah.
I'm surprised we've made it that long.
We've stayed on time this week, which is good.
I know, that's kind of... Maybe it's because we came in here with absolutely no material.
maybe that's the way we should do it from now on. Yeah.
Some would say we struggled, but I wouldn't. Let's just interview Tommy. Tommy, what? How would you think? How'd you
overall, what would you feel the performance of this week's podcast was like?
It was pretty good considering it was laid back and we'd never made any notes or anything.
It was extremely laid back, yes.
And it was only slightly less professional than when we really try hard. No. So we should maybe try make some sort of middle ground somewhere, and I think it would be quite a good idea.
What would be a middle ground? Would that
you'd make some notes.
Just some.
Like maybe two or three lines. Just so you kind of knew what you wanted to talk about.
I like that. That's good. It's coming in with a wee bit of an idea of what you're doing.
But at the same time, I also like the fact that we've managed to hit the same standard by putting less effort in. That really...
It shows how far we've come.
It speaks volumes about our progress, yeah.
That's kind of
started at the bottom and now we're here, eh?
Started at our bottom and we've tried so hard to stay there.
Well, yes, that's good. Anyway... If you're looking for other episodes of the Shambles that we like to call a podcast, it's not Shambles, that's not for us, Excelsior.
It's not as good as Shambles, is it?
We're on Facebook, we're at Desert Wales on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on their emails.
Sorry, budge in there. If you're doing the whole podcast thing, you can go to Podigy and get all the back episodes, eh?
Podigy. Podigy.io.
Just Google us now.
It's the Desert Wheel. Desert Wheels? I think that's the different one. The Desert Wheels.podigy.io. And it's got all of our previous episodes. And for those of you on the Apple side of things, we're on iTunes. So, you know.
We are. Oh, yeah,
go there. Sure, I don't keep forgetting we're on iTunes. Amazingly. But we are there. So, you know, have a look.
That counts.
Yeah, and that does count. So, I don't know why I'm pointing at the microphone.
Okay, Tom was doing that as well.
Just hey, guys.
Listen. Go and listen to us.
Point the positivity in the microphone. Anyway.
Visualise.
So, anyway. All right.
It's all about.
Any closing statements? You know,
no.
No. Right,
well, I was going to try to think of something real inspirational there and just...
Don't try inspiration. We all know how that ends.
Oh, very good. That's
right. We are at the big Glasgow comic event on April 16th, Saturday, 11 till 5 at the Trade Halls. Come and see us, come and say hi, come buy a comic or at least ask about it, and we'll maybe give you a wee free badge.
Bring us something to eat.
Aye, that's nice, actually.
Free badge and chat. Don't forget. Yeah,
it's not one or the other. Chat is mandatory. Ba-ding, 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 ding, ding.
Bye.
Aw, oh, shit.